Okay, good morning again, Mayit, everybody. Today's daf is Kedushin daf Mem Hey. We are going to pick up from Mem Dalad Amud Beis at the two dots, a little bit more than halfway down the Amud. So yesterday we had discussed the sugya of who is able to be. Well, we discussed two sugyas yesterday, but the first one that we started with yesterday, which the Gemara is sort of going to connect with today, was who is able to accept a get if you have a Nara whose father had married her off. So can only the father accept her get? Can the daughter accept the get as well? And we had seen that there was a machlokas between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda, with the Tanakama saying that both the father and the daughter can accept the get, Rabbi Yehuda saying only the father could accept the get. And then we saw a further machlokas between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, where Reish Lakish said that the same way that there is a machlokas by Gittin, so too there is a machlokas by Kedushin. So in other words, according to Reish Lakish, the Tanakhama would say that also by Kedushin, either the father or the daughter can accept the Kedushin. Whereas Rav Yochanan says, no, the machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda is only by Gittin. But by Kedushin, everybody would agree only the father can accept Kedushin. Today we're going to discuss what happens if a Ketana has Kedushin without her father knowing. Can the father then consent to the Kedushin after the fact? And if so, when does that Kedushin take effect from? Does it make a difference whether the father is in the area when the daughter accepts the Kedushin or not? The question of what happens if the father gives over the daughter in Kedushin, but then the daughter has Nisuin without the father's knowledge. Do we assume that the father is okay with it, or do we not? And so, and the Gemara walks through a couple of very, very interesting cases, including one where the father insists that the daughter get engaged to one of his relatives, and the mother insists that the daughter get engaged to one of her relatives. And ultimately, the mother browbeats the father, and so he finally capitulates, but then one of his relatives comes and is mekadesh the girl anyway. So do we assume that he consents? So all these different hypotheticals and different situations in which we assume maybe he does consent, maybe he doesn't consent. But the focus of today's daf is you have a ketana who accepts kedushin shelo dasavia. When do we assume that the father consents? How does he manifest that consent, etc.? So we pick up from Memdalad Amud Beis. Itmar is the first word on the line, about 12 lines before the lines get wide. So says the Gemara like this: Itmar, ketana sheniskacha shelo dasavia. If you have a ketana who accepts kedushin without her father's knowledge, so Amar Shmuel tzricha get v'tzricha mien. So Shmuel says that the ketana requires a get, and the Tana requires the girl requires a get rather, and the girl requires mian. So we're obviously all familiar with what a get is. A get is the way you dissolve a marriage that takes effect on a deraisa level. Mian is something. Mian, the girl rejecting a marriage, is something that can that can dissolve a kedushin derabbanan. For example, if the Ketana's brother accepted Kedushin for her, and not her father, then the father has the ability on a deraisa level to accept Kedushin on behalf of his daughter. A brother has the ability only on a derabbanan level to accept Kedushin for a sister, so the sister can do miyun and dissolve that Kedushin that worked on a derabbanan level. So what is Mian? So Mian is accomplished simply by the Ketana saying that she's no longer interested in the marriage. It's much less formal than a get. It's a declaration of rejection of the marriage that the Ketana makes, and it's effective to dissolve a Kedushin Darabana. So you have a Ketana who accepts Kedushin without her father's knowledge. So what Shmuel is saying here is that she requires get and she requires Mian. So Amar Karna says, Dvarim Bago, this shita of Shmuel is extremely problematic. Why? Because im get lama mian, im mian lama get. Because if she requires a get, why does she need mian? If she requires mian, why does she need a get? In other words, what Karna is saying is that the get is effective to dissolve a marriage midaraisa. The mian is effective to dissolve a marriage derabanan. So mamanafshach. is the marriage valid midaraisa, or is the marriage valid midrabanan? If it's a good marriage midaraisa, then only a get should be required. If the marriage is only midrabanan, then only miyun should be required. So requiring a get and requiring miyun is almost contradictory, because it sends very mixed messages about the status of the marriage. So Amrlei, so they said to Karna, Hamar Ukva Beidina Bekafri, so Amrlei, Hamar Ukva Beidina Bekafri, that Mar Ukva is based in Kifri, so of Chua, they switched the Shitos. So what Rashi says, very interesting. Rashi says that Afchua doesn't mean that they made a mistake and that they mixed up the Shitos of Shmuel and Karna. What Rashi explains is that they deliberately transposed the Shitos of Shmuel and Karna, that they said that Karna is the one who says that Tzricha Get and Tzricha Miyun, and Shmuel is the one who said Dvarim Bego, no, that either she only requires Get or she only requires Miyun. And then they sent a message of the Shitos to Rav to see whether Rav would paskin like Shmuel if they attributed Shmuel's view to Karna and if they attributed Karna's view to Shmuel. So it's almost like they were trying to trick him. Why did they do that? So Rashi says, Umishum derav oavo shel Shmuel haya of chua ula yoda ledivrei Karna shamru b'shem Shmuel. So because they figured, well, Rav was Shmuel's colleague, and they figured maybe if they attributed Karna's shita to Shmuel, then Rav would buy into the shita because he was an associate of Shmuel. The Rashash finds a big issue with Rashi, because all throughout Shas, first of all, we have Machloks and Rav and Shmuel. So you can't say, oh, because Rav was a good friend of Shmuel, we were trying to trick Rav to see if he would paskin like Shmuel if we attributed a different sheet to him. That whole thing doesn't make sense. We find Machloks and Rav and Shmuel across Shas. And also, Afchua is usually a language that we use when there's a mistake in a girsa. Oh, Afchua, we mistook the girsa, so let's change up one mandiyamar for the other. Afchua never implies that they actually switch something deliberately in order to trick somebody. But whatever it is, whether you learn like Rashi or like the Rashash, so Afchua shadrua lakame derav, and Amar Luhu, Helokim, tzricha get v'tzricha miyan. By God, she requires a get and she requires miyan. So in other words, he paskined like Shmuel, or according to Rashi, he paskined like the pshat, like the shita that was presented to him as Karna shita, which was really Shmuel shita, because he held that they require a get and they require miyan. So about six lines up from the wide line. So v'chasle lezare da'aba bar Abba dene mahachi, and what Rav said was that chas v'shalom, that Shmuel should say like this, should say like what? In other words, according to the way this was presented to Rav, that they presented Karna's view as Shmuel's. So Rav said, well, she requires get and she requires miyan. And I don't know what Shmuel was thinking while he was so perplexed why she would require get and miyan. Meaning Rav felt very strongly she requires both. She requires get and she requires miyan. Says the Gemara, now, v'taima mai, but why in the world would she require both a get and miyan? So either the marriage is valid when she accepts it as a ketana shalala dasavia, or it's not valid. So what are we doing here requiring both get and miyan? So Amar Rav Acha b'rei d'Rav Ika, tzricha get shemen v'sratzer av b'kedushin. She requires a get, lest the father actually desire that the kedushin take effect. And tzricha miyan, and she requires miyan. Why? Shem alonis ratzis av b'kedushin. Maybe the father didn't want the kedushin to take effect, and therefore you don't have a marriage midoraisa because the father never acquiesced. You only have over here this drabonadika marriage because the girl accepted the kedushin without the das of the father. Now, if the girl accepted the kedushin without the das of the father, and she has no ability to transact the kedushin herself, then l'chora, she shouldn't require a get, and she shouldn't require miyun. Why is she requiring miyun here? So it says v'yomro ein kedushin tofsim ba'achosa, because they might think that if we are mesupak, whether the marriage was valid midaraisa or midrabanan, and so we're going to require a get misafek. So anybody who sees that this girl had received a get will assume that the husband is not allowed to marry. The husband is not allowed to marry. Is not allowed to marry, and kedushin is not tofes by the woman's sister, because the halacha is that once you marry a woman, you're not allowed to marry the woman's sister. Even after you divorce your wife, you're still not allowed to marry the woman's sister. So anybody who sees this girl get a get is going to assume automatically kedushin is not tofes by her sister. But really, we were mesupik whether this was ever a marriage or not. So if we give a miyun, it shows that we're afraid that maybe a get is not needed to dissolve the kedushin, and maybe that's because there was never a kedushin. That's why she gets a miyun, and therefore that shows us that kedushin would be tofes with her sister. So that's why, according to the Shita of Shmuel, she requires a get, and she requires miyun over here. So back in the first part of this explanation, we had said that she requires a get. Why? Because maybe the kedushin was valid, because maybe the father consented to the kedushin after the fact. So what type of kedushin is this if the father consents to it? So the Ritva explains that the ketanish kedushin takes effect midin arev. It's as if the father is guaranteeing, he's a guarantor for the kedushin of the daughter. So the father's consent to the ketana's kedushin is like his direction to the husband to give the kedushay kesef to the ketana. And through the hana that the father gets, that the husband is listening to his instruction to give kedushay kesef to the ketana, he's giving over the ketana in kedushin. So according to the Ritva, it's really the father who's transacting the kedushin, but the kedushin is transacted not with the kesef that he's getting, because he's not getting kesef, only the girl's getting kesef, but he's getting such a hana that the guy is listening to his instruction. So it's bahayi hana that the kedushin is taking effect. The Rosh explains that the ketana herself carries out kedushin through the principle of tzi'i v'kibli kedusheich, where the father is giving his consent to the daughter and bestowing on her the authorization to accept kedushin in the first place. So according to the Rosh, it emerges that the daughter is the one who's accepting the kedushin. The daughter is the one who's transacting the kedushin, not the father. And also, according to the Rosh, it would take effect retroactively to the time that she accepted the kedushin. By according to the Ritva, that the kedushin works midin arev and it's behahi hana, the kedushin is only tofes when the father consents, because until he consents, he's not getting any hana. The guy's not listening to his instructions until he consents. But according to the Rosh, that it works midin si'iv kibli kedusheich, it works retroactively to the time that the girl accepts her kedushin. Back in the Gemara, what we had seen over here was that if the girl accepts the kedushin, then we require get and we require miyun. Get, maybe the father consented and ultimately became a kedushin deraisa. Miyun to show that we're mesupak. Maybe on the tzad that maybe the father didn't consent. Now, if he didn't consent, again we said it's not a kedushin at all. Why does she get miyun? So she has to do miyun to show that kedushin are tofes with her sister, to show that we're really mesupak whether it was a good kedushin or not. So Amar Rav Nachman, so says Rav Nachman, v'usha shidcho, that this whole halacha of tzricha get v'tzricha miyan applies only if they had shiduchin. What does shiduchin mean? That shiduchin means that they were discussing in yanim of marriage. So why does it work only if they were discussing in yanim of marriage? Because the Tosfos Ri HaZaken explains that what's this whole suffix? The whole suffix again is does the father consent or does he not consent? So the Tosfos Ri HaZaken says it's only shayach to say that the father maybe consented when they were talking about inyanei kedushin. If they weren't talking about inyanei kedushin and his katana daughter stam accepted kedushin from somebody, there's no reason to be choshesh, even there's no tzad to be choshesh that maybe he consented. So Ula Amar, so Ula says, but I don't even think she requires miyun. Ula Amar afilu miyun ein atzricha, that even she doesn't even require miyun, and that's av afal gav de shidcho. even if they were discussing in Yanei Kedushin, she does not require Miyun, because Ula says there is simply no way, there is simply no tzad to say that the father accepted Kedushin here, that the father consented rather to the daughter who's a minor, to the Ketana daughter, accepting Kedushin here under any circumstances. So Mandamasniha, so says the Gemara, first wide line, Mandamasniha lomasniha. The Mandiyamar who learns this brisa does not learn the other brisa. So Ikadamri, Ula, so others say, Ikadamri, others say, Amar Ula, Ktana Sheneskacha Shalala Dasavia, that a Ktana who accepts Kedushin without her father's consent, Afilu Miyun Enotzricha. She doesn't even require Miyun at all. And that this halacha applies whether or not there was kedushin. So in other words, the other mandiyamar, the second limit of this brisa doesn't introduce this concept of vahusha shidcho at all. That Ula just says that I believe she doesn't require mian. Doesn't make a difference whether they were talking about kedushin or not talking about kedushin. In no case does she require mian over here according to Ula, because Ula assumes there's no way that the father would consent to this kedushin taking effect. So Masav Rav Kana, so Frekt Rav Kana, Vekulan, Rav Kana brings a kasha from the following brisa, Vekulan, Imesu, Omianu, Onizgarshu, and all of these people, if they died, or if they did a mian, or if they got divorced, Oshinimtsu Islandus, or if they required an Islandus, we're here talking about a case where you have a Yavama, who was one of a number of co-wives, who falls before a Yavam to do Yibam, and it happens to be that the Yavama is an Erva to the Yavam. The Yavama, again, the Yavama is the wife of the brother's deceased brother. She now falls before the surviving brother, before the Yavam, and it turns out that the Yavama is an Erva. So what happens? So the halacha is that if the Yavama is an Erva, then she doesn't require Yibam or Chalitza because she's an Erva, and she also paters all of her co-wives from having Chalitza as well. There's simply no requirement, there's no Zika, because the Yavama is an Erva to the Yavam, and that Zika can't take effect when there's an Erva here. Now, what happens, though, if it turns out that the Erva is maybe as less of a Zika? Turns out she's an Islandus. She was barren, so she was never able to have kids. Or it turns out that the Yavama died. Or there was a get. Or there was Mian. So there's less of a Zika between the Yavama and the Yavam, and maybe that would permit the Zika to again take effect between the Yavam and the Yavama's co-wives. So it says the Gemara over here, Tzoroseim Mutaros. So their tzoros are going to be mutar over here. So says the Gemara, so the Kitcha Man. So this Yavama who did Mian, who accepted the kedushin for her, that she's doing a miyun over here? Elim at the kitcha via. So if her father accepted kedushin for her, so be miyun sagila get mal yaboy. So what miyun over here? If the father accepted kedushin for her, then she's married on a deraisa level. If she's married on a deraisa level, then the marriage can only be absolved, the marriage can only be dissolved through get, not through miyun. So elalav the kitcha I nafshe nafsha. Elamai, she accepted kedushin for herself. Viktani deboy miyun. And we see over here that she requires, miyun. So says the Gemara. So who most of love, who mafarikla, kagon shenasala, maisa yisoma b'chaya av. Over here we're talking about a case where she became a yisoma b'chaya av. So what does that mean, a yisoma b'chaya av? So Rashi over here says, towards the end of the page, says, kagon sheyasiyo avila acher v'nis armala unis garsha b'katnusa. That the father gave her in nisuin to somebody else, and then she became an almana, or she became a gureshes while she was still a ktana. This ties back to something that we had mentioned yesterday, that when we had discussed yesterday the concept of the father accepting a get on behalf of the daughter, we had said that that only applies in a case where there was kedushin, not in a place where there was nisuin. Because if there was full-blown nisuin, then the father loses all control over the daughter. So yisoma b'chayav means that the father gave her to one marriage, she was actually married, then she became a widow, or she became a divorcee, But once she was already married, once she has nisuin, she doesn't go back to the rishos of her father. Her father had no ability to give her over. And so then when she's still a katana, she's only capable of accepting kedushin for herself on a drabanan dika level. That's why miyun would work. Explains the Gemara. So Masav Rav Amnuna, ain mochra lekrovim, that you're not allowed to sell her. That you're not allowed to sell her to Krovim as an Amma of Riyah. Why? Rashi explains, because we need Kedushin to be Tofes, because we need the Amma of Riyah to be Roy for Yid. We need the Amma of Riyah to be Roy for Yid, which is a type of marriage that you could do with an Amma of Riyah. And therefore, if you were to sell her to a Karov, if you were a seller to a relative, the relative obviously wouldn't be able to transact kedushin with her. Bishem Rav Elazar Omer Mokro LaKrovim, but Rav Elazar says that you could sell her to a karov. V'shavin Shemokro LaMana LaKoyin Gadol Grusha V'Chalusa LaKoyin Hediot. And everybody agrees that you could sell an almana to a Kohen Gadol, and you could sell a Grusha and a Chalutza to a Kohen Hediot. And the reason is, explains Rashi, because even though the Kohen Gadol is usher to marry an almana, and a regular Kohen is usher to marry a Grusha or a Chalutza, because Kedushin is Tofsin, B'chayve Lavin, it's considered to be a sale of an Amavriyat, regarding which Kedushin would be Tofes over here. So says the Gemara, but we don't even understand this case. Hayal mana hechadami. Again, how is it that the guy is selling his daughter as an amavria, which he's only allowed to do when she's a ktana, and she's already an almana? How is it possible that the guy has the ability, the control, to sell his daughter, who's a ktana, after she was already married? So hayal mana hechadami. Ile medikit shavia. If the father accepted kedushin, so mi matzi mazvin la. Can the father now sell her as an amma of riyah? Hane ha'ena damokher as bita l'shifchas acharishas. Once a person gives over his daughter in marriage, he is no longer able to sell his daughter as an amma of riyah. Elalav de kadashi nafsha. Elamai, she accepted kedushin for herself. V'kakari le'almana. We call her an almana. So if she accepted kedushin herself and we're calling her an almana, it's obvious that she does have the ability to accept kedushin. That's why we're calling her an almana. If her marriage was totally meaningless, if she totally lacked the ability to accept kedushin for herself, we wouldn't call her an almana. She would not have the status of an almana. So Amar Rav Amram, Amar Rav Yitzchak, Kaka b'kiddush yid. Over here, we're talking about kedusha yid. Va'aliba d'Rav Yosi b'Rav Yehuda d'Amar Mos Rishonos lav l'kedusha nitnu. Over here, we're talking about kedusha yid, and we hold like Rav Yosi Brav Yehuda, who says that most Rishonos were not given l'shem kedushin. So what does this mean? So in other words, Sarashi explains that she became an almana from kedusha yid. She became an almana from kedusha yid. And when you do yid, so again, yid is something that after a person acquires an amma of riyah, he could decide that he wants to have kedushin with the amma of riyah, and he could basically take her as a wife. He could start living with her as a wife. So the question is, the money that he originally paid the father for the daughter as an amma of riyah, does he have to give other kesef kedushin, or is that money valid as kesef kedushin? So Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda would say that you have to give additional money as kesef kedushin. So what does it mean that she became an almana? It means she became an almana from yid, but the guy never gave the additional kesef kedushin. The original kesef kedushin, the original kesef for the transaction was only kesef to purchase her as an amma of riyah. It was not kesef kedushin. Therefore, it's not. In other words, she's not really an almana. If she were really an almana from a real marriage that the father accepted for her, then he wouldn't be able to sell her anymore. Why is he able to sell her? Because he only gave her l'shem amma of riyah. Didn't he accept the money? Yeah, we all like Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yudu says that the most Rishonos were not l'shem kedushin. Okay, so says the Gemara Vayter, two dots. Say, Itmar, mace, So we learn in a brisa, if the person who gave kedushin to the ketana without her father's knowledge dies, v'nafal ifnei achiv liyibam, and then she falls before his brothers for yibam. So Ravuna Marav, so says Ravuna, in the name of Rav Mamenes Lamamaro, she could do miyun to somebody who does maimer on her, v'eina mamenes lizikaso, and she is not allowed to do miyun for somebody who has a regular zika with her, but who didn't do maimer. So ketzad, so what does this mean? So says the Gemara, so osaba maimer, if somebody did maimer with her, then tzricha get, v'tzricha chalitza, v'tzricha miyun. She requires both a get and a chalitza and miyun, which is pretty interesting that she requires all three. Usually, if we have a regular woman who's a yavama, who falls before the yavam for marriage, and the Yavam does Maimer, again, Maimer is this type of Kedushin Durabanan, then we know the halacha is she requires both get and a chalitza. Chalitza is the standard way that you dissolve the Zika of Yibam. A get is required because Maimer affects the Kedushin Durabanan, and the get is needed to get rid of the Kedushin Durabanan of Maimer. But if here she requires all three, she requires Maimer, she requires rather get, she requires chalitza, and she requires miyan. So why all three? So tzricha get sheminis ratzra al bekedushin. She requires a get because maybe the father consented to the second kedushin. In other words, maybe the father consented to the kedushin that was done al yidei mamar, and therefore that's a full fledged kedushin. She requires a get to dissolve it. Tzricha chalitza. She requires chalitza sheminis ratzra al bekedushin rishon because maybe the father consented to the first kedushin, so, and again, she was a ketana, but maybe the father consented to the first kedushin, and that first kedushin was valid midoraisa. When the husband dies, then she falls before the yavam on a doraisa level, and so she requires chalitza. And tzricha miyun, why does she require miyun over here? We never see a case of miyun by mamer. So tzricha miyun, shem alonis ratzav, lo b'kedusha rishon, lo b'kedusha sheni, and because maybe the father didn't consent to any of them. And so none of these kedushin are valid. So again, if none of the kedushin are valid, why did she require miyun? So v'yomru ein kedushin tofsin ba'achosa, to teach us that we're mesupuk, and therefore kedushin would be tofes by her. Kedushin would be tofsin by her sister. That's why she requires the miyun. Now lo asa maimar. If nobody did maimer, the second part of the brisa was, let's say nobody did maimer, eina tzricha ela chalitza bilvad. She only requires chalitza. That's all she requires. So my amrit, tiboy nami miyun. Why doesn't she require miyun as well? Shama yomru ein kedushin tofsin ba'achosa. So why don't we require miyun to show that we're mesupik over here whether the father accepted kedushin? Why don't we require miyun to show that we have a suffix, we don't know what the halacha is, says the Gemara, kol yodin achos chalutza drabanan, because everybody knows achos chalutza is drabanan anyway. So in other words, what's going to happen? That she's going to fall before the brother for yibam. The guy's going to do a chalitza, and so we had said, oh, we need this miyan to show us that kedushin is tofes by her sister. By a chalutza, we know that kedushin is tofes by her sister because achos chalutza is only midrabanan; it's not midaraisa like achos grushaso. So we don't need miyun in order to teach me what the halacha might be with respect to her sister. I already know what the halacha is going to be with respect to her sister. Everybody knows that achos chalutza is aser midrabanan. Demareish lakeish kan shana rebi achos grusha midaraisa achos chalutza midarei sofrim. We already know that achos grusha is midaraisa, achos chalutza is me divrei sofrim, and therefore everybody already knows that the kedushin is going to be tofes on her sister because the whole iser was only an iser drabanan. The only reason, again, we require miyun is to show that we're mesupak, even though usually kedushin isn't tofes with the wife's sister. Over here it would be tofes because we're mesupak where the kedushin took place. But if what we're talking about is achotz chalutzaso, everybody knows achotz chalutzaso is only aser midrabanan anyway, so everybody knows the kedushin is already going to be tofes. We don't need miyun in order to illustrate that. Says the Gemara now in Maisa, Hanu Beitrei Davi Kakshasu Chamra. There were two people who were drinking wine, Tusei Tzipi Bababel, under the willow tree in Bavel. So they were just chilling out, having having some wine. So shakal chad minayu kasa de chamra. So one of them took a cup of wine. Yavle le chavre. He gave it to his friend. Amar mikdashi li barteich lebre. Your daughter, with this cup of wine, your daughter should become mikudeshas to my son. So amar avina, afilu mandemar chashin and shemen shvasa av. Even according to the mandemar, who says that we're afraid maybe the father would consent to the kedushin that's given to the daughter. Now the top of memeim abeis. Shemen esratzei aben lo aminan. We don't hold that shemen esratzei aben. So we have no basis to concern ourselves that this kedushin is actually valid. Rashi explains here, why are we not afraid of Shemenes Ratzei Aben? So he says that the whole reason, because we're not afraid that the father accepted kedushin for the son, Shalomi Daito. Why? Because we only say that by a daughter, that we assume that the father might consent to a kedushin that was done without his knowledge. Because of the principle that we've seen many times already in the Masechta, we'll continue to see, Tav Lemeitan Tandu Lemeitav Armelu. Because both women and the father would prefer that they be married as opposed to that they live out their lives single. So therefore, we assume there's a baseline assumption that the father is desirous of having this kedushin take effect. However, by a son, we say no such thing, and therefore there's no reason to assume that the father would consent to the kedushin taking effect. So Amar Le Rabbanan Lo Ravina V'Dilma Shliach Shavya. Well, why do we say that we have no basis to be concerned? Maybe the kedushin is tofes. Maybe the son made the father a shaliach to accept kedushin on his behalf. So maybe when the father said to his friend, oh, through this cup of water, your daughter should be mekudeshes to my son, maybe he's only fulfilling the shlichas that his son sent him to perform. So says the Gemara, because it's a real chutzpah to make your father a shliach, to do something for you. The son would never make his father a shliach, therefore we don't have to be afraid that the kedushin is tofes over here, mi din shlichas. Says the Gemara, v'dilma artsuye kamei. Well, maybe the father and the son were having a heart-to-heart, and the son confided in the father his love for this girl, and therefore the father, while he wasn't actually made a shaliach, he was acting on a hunch and a big hint that the son gave to his father. So says the Gemara, Amar le Rabba Bar Simi, Beferish Amarmar. So Rabba Bar Simi says, Beferish Amarmar Delo Savarla De lo sover la de Rav Shmuel, that he doesn't hold that we don't hold like Rav Shmuel. So in other words, unless we know with certainty that the father consented, then there's no reason to believe he may have done so, and therefore we don't require a get, and we don't require a mion. So in other words, again, Shmuel has said Rav and Shmuel, Rav had paskin like Shmuel. We opened up this year today with a discussion of Shmuel. What happened? Shmuel said that she requires both a get and mion, and we saw Karna had an issue with Shmuel Shita, but Shmuel said in the case where the Ketana accepts kedushin shalol adasavia, she requires get and mion. And what we say over here is that we don't paskin like Rav and we don't paskin like Shmuel. In other words, unless we know, we paskin like Ula, basically, is what this Gemara is saying, like the Shita of Ula that we saw earlier, Amem Dalad Amabez, unless we know for sure that there's a reason to be choshesh, we don't have to be choshesh to kedushin. So to over here, unless we know for sure that the son made his father a shliach, there's no reason to be choshesh. Okay, so says the Gemara Vayter, who gavra the kaddish bekisha diyarka b'shuka? There was a guy who was mekadesh, a very romantic guy, who was mekadesh a woman with a bundle of vegetables in the shuk. So Amar Ravina, if you will man the Amar choshishin, sheminis ratzu av, and he was mekadesh a ketana. So even according to the Manor, it says that usually we are afraid maybe the father would acquiesce to the kedushin, maybe he would consent. Hani mili derech kavod, aval derech bizayin lo. The only time we have to be nervous that maybe the father would have wanted the kedushin to take effect is where his daughter is accepting kedushin in a bakavadik way. But where his daughter is accepting kedushin in a derech bizayin, there's no way that the father would want the kedushin to take effect. There's no way that he would consent. So Amalei Ravacha midifti l'ravina. So says Ravacha midifti l'ravina. What bizayin is this? So I understand. In other words, accepting kedushin with a bundle of vegetables in the shuk, pretty lame. We all agree that's like the worst proposal ever. But in what respect is it a bizayin? So bizayin de mai, either bizayin de yarka, e bizayin de shuka. So is it a bizayin that the money, that the thing of money's worth that was used as kedushin here was just so embarrassing? It was a bundle of vegetables, or was the bizayin that the kedushin was transacted in the shuk? So nafkamina, what's a nafkamina? The kaddish pekaspa b'shuka. Either if he gave gave over kesef kedushin in the shuk, or bekisha the arka bebesa, or he tries to do the kedushin with a bundle of vegetables in a house. If you want to say that the bezoyin is the fact that it was done in the shuk, then it wouldn't work even if the kedushin was transacted with money in the shuk. If you want to say that the bezoyin is in the fact that the kedushin was done with a bundle of vegetables, then you would not be able to be Mekadesh a woman with a bundle of vegetables even in the house. So what's the halacha? So Amarlei, idi v'idi derech b'zayinu. They're both derech b'zayin. Everything about this proposal is just the worst. So it doesn't work for these two reasons. It's derech b'zayin for these two reasons. Ha'ud amar le'lekrevei. There was a guy who said to the Ha'ud amar le'kravoi. There was a guy who said that our daughter should marry my relative. V'hi amra, and his wife said le'kreva. That she should marry my relative. So the woman forced the husband to agree that the daughter would marry her relatives. So adi amarlu tiyava lekreve. So the wife forced the husband into agreeing, finally capitulating that you're right, the daughter can marry your relatives, the wife's relatives. So adi achli v'shasi. Now while they were having this seuda over here, the seudas mitzvah for the simcha, so asa kreve beigra, his relative went up into the attic, v'kitcha, and was makadesh this girl. So Rashi explains that this happened before the father accepted the kesef kedushin from his wife's relatives. His own relative went up into the attic and gave the daughter, who was a ketana, mo shel kesef shel kedushin. So Amar Abaye, so the question is, do we have to be nervous that the father consented? So what's the basis for assuming that the father consented? We might assume the father consented because they just had a fight as to whether she's going to get engaged to his relatives or her relatives. But he already agreed that she would get engaged to her relatives. So says the Gemara, Sheiris Yisrael Layasu Avla V'Layidavru Kazav. We have Alacha Sheiris Yisrael Layasu Avla. Nobody will speak dishonest things and nobody will twist their words. So we know once the guy agreed that his daughter should be given over to his wife's relatives, he meant it sincerely, and therefore there is no chashash at all that he would then consent to the kesef kedushin taking effect from his relative because he already gave up on it. Rava says, you're right, we're not choshesh that he accepted this other kedushin, but for a different reason, because here already he is throwing an engagement party. And we're not afraid that the guy is going to be tareach in the suda of the engagement, and then he's going to throw it all away and say, sorry, she was engaged to somebody else. So nafkamina, my binayu, ikabinayu dlo tarach. Let's say he didn't have to be, he wasn't tareach for the suda. If the whole reason that we say that, if the whole reason for our shita is inam tareach besuda mafsida, then maybe we would be afraid that he would consent to the kedushin. But if the whole reason that we're not usually afraid is because a person's not going to go against his word, then so to over here, we should not be afraid that he's going to go against his word. So as the Gemara a little bit vital, let's learn a few of these cases. In Iskacha Ladasa Via, so let's say she was Mekadeshes with the das of her father. And then her father went off on a business trip. Vamda Veneses. And then she accepts she accepts the Nisuin. So Rashi points out that the ability to accept Nisuin, or the ability to consent to Nisuin, also belongs to the father, just like the ability to accept Kedushin belongs to the father, but the father's not here. He's out of the picture. So Marav Ocheles Betruma, and let's say the husband is a Kohen. So she could eat Truma Achayavo Avia Vimcha until her father comes back and is Mocha, and makes a Macha, and objects. Ravasi Yamar Eino Ocheles, she is not able to eat Truma during this gap period until the father returns. Why? Shema Yavo Avia Vimcha, because maybe the father will come back and will object. And it will turn out that there's a Zara who's eating Truma, and it'll turn out that the whole time along she was really a Zara eating Truma. Tosfa says she's not quite a Zara. We know that once a woman is engaged to a Kohen, once a woman has Kedushin with a Kohen, she's able to eat Truma on a Daraisa level, but the Rabbanan were gozer that she should not eat Truma because so long as she's engaged and she doesn't have yet Nisuin, we're afraid maybe she's going to give her brothers who are Yisraelim the Truma to eat. So she's not taka, she's not really a zara, but still we say she should not eat truma during this gap period. Maybe the father won't consent to the kedushin. Havi uvda v'chashla rav lahad ravasi, and there was a maisa, and Rav was choshesh for the shita of Ravasi, and did not let the girl eat truma. So then Amar Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak umoda Rav, and Rav would agree. Even Rav, who says that she could eat truma during the gap period if the husband was a kohen, would agree shemesa ina yarsha, that if he dies during this period after the Nisuan was done, but without the father's consent and knowledge, she would not be Yoresh him. Why? Ukimamona Becheskas Mare. Because we say that we leave Mamon Becheskas Mare. And Becheskas Mare is with the Rishos of his Yarshim. Therefore, we would not give over the Yerusha to her unless we knew for sure that the father consented. So we'll continue, God willing, over here tomorrow, picking up, discussing cases of what happens if the father, if the father's not around and we are uncertain whether he's consenting to the Kedushin and to the Nisuin.